This is KPOO San Francisco 89.5. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and you've reached Reality Sandwich. Reality Sandwich, as we like to call it, a palatable taste of the truth. And today we're going to be talking about naturopathic medicine. We have on some wonderful guests who are naturopathic doctors. We have on Amy Day and Carl Hengebauer, and you may know Carl because he's been on the show before. Carl is a naturopathic doctor and licensed acupuncturist, and I guess today is his first official reunion as an official naturopathic doctor on the show.
That's right, Julie. We are now licensed as naturopathic doctors in California.
Great. So we're going to talk a lot more about that and what it means as we go through the show here. But Carl is has been an acupuncturist for a very long time and runs a clinic called the Soma Acupuncture Clinic in Potrero Hill. And actually, I guess, has been a naturopathic doctor for a long time. It's just it wasn't licensed in California until recently. So now that's official, and there's some really wonderful news and opportunities with that. And Amy Day is a naturopathic physician or naturopathic doctor who specializes in gynecology, digestion, sports injuries, detoxification, and wellness care. And welcome, Amy.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. So let's see. Where should we start? Maybe we should just get a review on what's changed because things change so quickly in the world of well, I don't know. They probably don't actually. Probably go pretty slowly. The licensing and all of the things on the state level and how that's now finally trickling down to you.
You're right. I think it really runs at a glacial pace at state government also. Yeah, there have been a lot of changes since I've been on last time. As you may recall, in 2003, Gray Davis signed a bill licensing naturopathic doctors in California. And it took about a year for the state to implement that that law. And the first licenses were issued in January of this year, 2005. I got the second license in the state,
wow.
Amy's license number 4.
Wow.
And to date, I've heard that there are somewhere around 75 licenses that have been issued so far. And we expect that number to hit 200 or so in the state of California by the end of the year.
Great.
And grow and increase every year.
I bet that that's more of a factor of just them processing the licenses at this point. I'm assuming there's probably a big backlog of them.
There's a backlog. I also think because naturopathic medicine hasn't been licensed here, there have only been a limited number of practitioners who are willing to come here from the colleges and open a practice. You know, after you
right.
invest a lot of time and money into an education, you don't want to go someplace where what you're doing is not legal.
Right.
Or licensable. So once that's opened up, now as students graduate from the naturopathic schools, mm-hmm. people in other states who wanted to be in California and now have the opportunity to come here and practice in the open in a licensed health profession, we're going to see more. We're going to really see this grow
yes.
quite a bit.
Wow. Have you seen anything change from the insurance perspective yet?
We're starting to see some changes. I'm sure that will move at a glacial pace
mm-hmm.
also. I don't know of any companies who are offering specific naturopathic care under their programs yet. I think that's going to be something that builds in slowly. But I know that at our clinic, as we have new patients come in who are interested in naturopathic care and want to see if their insurance covers it, we've checked a few and, you know, luckily, a few people have found that their insurance will cover naturopathic care, and we have been reimbursed for that. So
great.
I think it's happening out there.
Great. And that's encouraging because that's, of course, one of the limitations to some extent for people being able to use it. So it's good to see that things are catching up slowly.
It provides access, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So what else? Anything else? I guess maybe we should just explain for people that are new, listening for the first time, what is an ND or naturopathic doctor to begin with, because it's probably a new term for a lot of people. Who wants to kind of just give me a basic explanation of?
I'll jump in. Naturopathic doctors are, in a nutshell, primary care providers who are trained in and specialize in natural medicine. So there are naturopathic medical schools out there, Bastyr University in Seattle, National College in Portland, the Southwest College in Tempe, Arizona, that are all four-year medical programs that train naturopathic doctors in the various theories and practice of naturopathic medicine. For someone to become licensed in California and in any other state, you have to have graduated from one of these approved schools. You have to have passed a board exam. And, you know, there's a number of other factors. You couldn't have a felony or, you know, things like that. And what once you've jumped through these hoops, so to speak, you can get a license as a naturopathic doctor. And I think the difference is if someone comes into my office and they want to deal with allergies, let's say, that's a big thing that's going on right now, we just don't think about putting them on something that's going to make their nose clear up. I mean, we certainly want to help people feel better, and we start out there. But we look deeper, and we look more at, I guess what you'd call holistic therapies for dealing with someone with allergies. We might take a look at their diet and have them eliminate some foods which may provoke their allergic response. Or we may have them use certain herbs or improve their digestion, for example, because we know that enhancing the ability of the body to digest properly and to prevent harmful substances from getting into the bloodstream, you can reduce the allergic load and actually go toward preventing allergies down the road. So we take a bigger picture when we work with people.
What I really like to stress for people is, well, for a long time, the term doctor meant Western medical doctor, MD, that we all have been to and know of. And so to, but then fortunately, chiropractors came along and acupuncturists, and so we started to see other forms of health care come along. And so now a naturopathic doctor is an, sort of a, an additional piece of that puzzle, which I think is maybe a bit maybe unclear to people at first of, you know, you think that a, quote, doctor, the, you know, the MDs were the ones that if you had something wrong with you, they'd go in and they'd diagnose it. And they were kind of the end-all, be-all answer to what you had and what to do about it. And now people are realizing, now that there's other opportunities available to them, that the approach of an MD is typically, I'm generalizing a bit, but typically their tools are more in the line of surgery, pharmaceuticals, things like that. And now we see that naturopathic doctors, their bag of tools starts with things like diet and nutrition and other natural healing modalities. Maybe they do some acupuncture or homeopathy or something like that. And so it's another way to treat somebody, but using a different set of tools.
Well, that's right. And I think that in many cases, it's more appropriate to start with these, I'll call them softer remedies and softer approaches, than to leap to a pharmaceutical approach or a surgical approach. You know, in mainstream medicine, they call these conservative approaches sometimes.
Right.
They don't seem so conservative. But nonetheless, I think when you're doing things that work with the body's ability to heal itself, when you're trying to work with someone's system, you're likely to get good results. And even if you're treating someone, if I'm treating someone and I can only get so far with them and I realize the need that they need to see a medical doctor and get a prescription for a pharmaceutical drug or they need surgery for that back pain or whatever, that's one of our jobs is to get them to the right person at the right time to do that. And, you know, if you enter the medical system with an emergency or with some very serious health issue, MD is probably the place to go if you need those medications.
Right.
But even in those cases, naturopathic medicine provides some good tools for people to minimize their dependence on pharmaceutical drugs or to enhance their healing process so they can feel better and get better quicker.
Yes.
And as licensed, we're licensed in California as primary care providers, so we're able to do the diagnostics and help someone can come to us first with any kind of complaint, and we can help them figure out what's going on and help them to determine what the best avenues would be for treatment.
Absolutely. So now it's sort of we have a new paradigm available to us that hadn't been available really before. And what I really love, I've definitely seen a variety of naturopathic, well, I've seen one or two naturopathic doctors and a variety of other people. But what I love about naturopathic doctors is that they can do that. They can run all of the lab tests, and you can get a very scientific approach that a lot of people need. And also use the thing I really love about it is that they try to actually figure out what the underlying cause is and help correct it versus just giving something that would fix the symptom but not necessarily heal the underlying cause.
Exactly. And that's been one of the benefits of licensure is that now we have tools available so we can understand better what's going on. So we can now do hormonal assessments or laboratory tests or order an X-ray or order an MRI or send someone for a breast exam or whatever. And that just lets us gather information a little more efficiently than in the old days where we weren't licensed in California to do this stuff.
Right. Just a question. Is there anything now that, I mean, I know that there are things that you don't do because it's not your specialty and that's great, but is there anything that, you know, the average person might come with a sore throat that you couldn't do? Can you prescribe an antibiotic or?
Well, that's a little hard to explain. In the Licensing Act, it does allow the limited use of some prescription drugs. So, for example, naturopathic doctors can prescribe hormones. Mm-hmm. So that means birth control pills or thyroid hormone for people that are hypothyroid or things like that. We can use epinephrine for anaphylaxis. Mm-hmm. There's a few very limited things that naturopathic doctors can do now.
And natural hormone treatments for menopausal symptoms also.
Mm-hmm. But because we're a new profession, and this is an area of controversy, as you probably know, the medical profession has been assaulted on all sides by people wanting to prescribe pharmaceuticals. Mm. There are psychologists in New Mexico that can prescribe prescription drugs now. Pharmacists are looking for the rights. And MDs are very nervous about this that's going on. So one of the deals we made, so to speak, is that this year the Bureau of Naturopathic Medicine is conducting a study which will look into how naturopathic doctors are trained in prescription drugs, what the rules are like in other states, and what the laws are like here, with the idea that on January 1st, 2006, the legislature is going to get a recommendation as to whether to keep the scope of practice where prescription drugs are now or to expand it or what to do with it. Hmm. And currently it's a provision in the law that naturopathic doctors can coordinate with medical doctors who are receptive to this and develop some protocols which would allow MDs to prescribe other prescription drugs as long as they're working with an MD currently.
That's good. To me that seems fair. Medical doctors spend years and years studying pharmaceuticals, and if I were going to be prescribed a pharmaceutical, I'd want someone that was an expert in being able to figure out what the side effects are and what could happen to me if it was prescribed wrong and all of those things. And there's also probably some gray area in the middle that if you get a lab test that says you have a bacterial infection, an antibiotic's probably not that, you know.
Yeah, it's not the core of our training or the core of our therapies, but there are a few things that are nice to have. And just like the example you used, if you run into that situation, you know that antibiotic is going to be right for that person. Is it reasonable to let the naturopathic doctor prescribe that, or do we need to send them for yet another medical visit, more costs to get that prescription by a medical doctor? So I think that's the idea.
Yeah, sure.
An advantage of someone working with a naturopathic doctor in that instance is that we wouldn't only give them that antibiotic, but we would teach them other ways to support their treatment and help their body and their immune system to be able to fight that infection and help to restore the beneficial flora that might get killed off by the antibiotic.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big area for opportunity to figure out how these are going to all merge together, because all of those pieces can be really important for somebody, and the antibiotic could be really important. But once the antibiotic is given, then balancing what caused the need for the antibiotic to begin with is also something to look at.
Preventing recurrence.
Right, right. And people that tend to be stuck on round after round after round of antibiotic that – you know, you could do something to just work with the immune system instead.
We like to get people off of those roller coasters, that's for sure. But I also want to say that NDs are, by our nature, integrative and bridge builders. We like the idea that we're part of a bigger medical profession and that working with MDs and chiropractors and acupuncturists and other, you know, related health fields, really it's for the benefit of the consumer we're really talking about here, and it's finding the right treatment for that person at the right time.
Right, right. Well, I just love the concept because now people have more choices. They can choose to go to an MD. They can choose to go to an ND, and they have, they can get whatever treatment they feel is best for them. And you know, I'm all for that.
And because our education teaches us at least a little bit about so many different types of practices that there are out there, we're very well trained for making referrals. So someone might not know themselves that they should go to a chiropractor, or that they should really try acupuncture for a certain condition, or they need to go see an MD for some more further workup that we can't do, or for more prescription or surgery if they need that, and we can point people in the right direction.
Yes, which is really, I think, one of the most powerful things, because right now, before this came along, you had a lot of silos of information that you didn't know. Did you need, you know, what did this person do and what could this service offer me? And the only way to know those things would be to go to talk to somebody. But if you don't even know they exist, you wouldn't know to go to talk to somebody. So that's definitely a huge advantage. So let me get on to, I know that now, Amy, you are working over at the Soma Acupuncture Clinic. Is it still called the Soma Acupuncture?
Soma Acupuncture and Natural Health Clinic. That's
right. Great. And so you have a whole set of new tools to bring or focus to bring to the practice, which I'm really excited about. And a big piece of that is women's health.
Yes.
So can you tell us more about what you're able to offer and what someone can expect coming to see a naturopathic doctor for a women's well visit versus maybe what they're used to getting now?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we are offering like annual GYN exams with a naturopathic approach. And some of the main differences of that are it's a very more comprehensive. We spend a lot of time talking over the history, and we'll spend about an hour with the person and being able to get to know more about their history and what's been going on with them, and also talking about strategies for prevention if they're concerned about preventing diseases as they continue in their lives also. And I take the time to explain what I'm going to be doing and the physical exam part of it and try to make it as comfortable as possible for the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I really work with women on making it a positive experience.
Great. We just have a friend of mine joining us to hang out. Hello. So tell me a little bit more about, let's pick maybe something that's pretty common, like PMS or something. And, you know, how would that be approached from your perspective? What things are people maybe not realizing that could be impacted? A lot of times people think, oh, you know, people come to me all the time and they'll say, oh, well, my mother had this, or, you know, my mother had bad cramps. So they just sort of assume that, well, that's the lot that they're dealt. So what kind of types of things do you look at that are different that can provide them more help, assistance?
Right. Yeah, so many women kind of assume that however bad their cycle is, that that's normal. And I am here to tell you that it doesn't have to hurt really bad, and it doesn't have to be crazy emotional. And doesn't, you know, a little bit of that is part of our nature as women and experiencing that and finding the positive aspects about that. As far as the emotional side mm-hmm. of it is what I'm referring to, is part of what I talk to people about. But and with something like PMS, lifestyle and diet can make the hugest difference in the symptoms that someone experiences month to month. So making recommendations to people about those kinds of things, and herbs also can be really helpful in balancing out hormones and helping a woman have a more level cycle. And something as simple as sleep and getting enough sleep in your daily life and managing your stress well, and aerobic exercise is really helpful for managing the symptoms of PMS. There's specific nutrients and botanicals that can be really helpful.
So what do you typically find when a woman comes to see you? Are they even aware that these things are, you know, that their symptoms of PMS might be a hormone imbalance and that there's actually ways to work with that? I guess I'm curious two things. Like, what's their general level of understanding that this can be impacted? And then what results do people typically see, or how does this kind of therapy typically work for most people?
Okay. So I'd say that there's a range as far as how many people are already understanding what's going on with the hormones. And one of the foundations of naturopathic medicine is a principle called doctor as teacher. And that's, we spend a lot of time explaining the physiology to women, talking about the hormonal cycles and what's going on in the different times of the month and what happens around ovulation and why, you know, what is it about PMS, the premenstrual time, and the hormones are really shifting at that time. So mm-hmm. Explaining that so women have an understanding of what's going on in their body, and you know, sometimes that is very helpful just to understand why mm-hmm. I feel this way right now. And so that we do spend the time to educate and talk about that as much detail as someone is interested
right.
in getting into. And in terms of how the treatments usually go, it can vary also. It depends on how you know, how much work there is to be done and how committed a person is to making those changes. Mm-hmm. And I'm really willing to work with people at different levels of commitment. I don't expect everybody to come in and, you know, be a perfect saint and do every single thing that they should be doing or something. I tell people not to should on themselves. And, but it does take work. It does take a level of commitment on your part. It's not just taking a pill and making everything go away. Mm-hmm. It's about being in touch with yourself and learning from your body and learning how to work with your body. And I teach people how to recognize the effects of treatments. Okay, if I eat a more whole foods diet and cut out a lot of the junk food and I do that for a whole month or 2 months, I can see that I feel so much better. And then then I say it's up to you whether you decide to eat that mm-hmm. way or not. But I feel like I've done my job in educating them and teaching them the difference that it can make and helping them to do that. So a lot of therapies might take 2 or 3 months to see the change. It's not an instant thing, but for a lot of women, though, also within the first month, you can start seeing mm-hmm. those changes. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's one of the things that in the past, people, they went to the doctor because they wanted it to go away immediately. Snap of the fingers, they wanted to, you know, their pain to go away or this or that. And that's, while that might work in the short term, as most people find out in the long term, it doesn't necessarily work for the long term. In fact, it sometimes just masks things that continue on. But you're right that once people start to see the benefit of these, while it might take work and it might take a little bit of time, they're noticing even in the first few days after that they probably start to feel a little bit better, and they progressively feel better and better until sometimes it's not really the extra quote effort that or work that it takes really isn't work because it's worth how much better they end up feeling.
And they feel so much better for then, and it's also really important because a lot of the strategies that we talk about for addressing their current problem, whatever it is, will really help their health mm-hmm. for the long run. Also, it's a very preventive approach too for warding off other diseases that they might have otherwise been on the path towards.
Yeah, you know, Julie, someone once said that the way to manage your health is to get a chronic disease and manage it. The way to
right,
be healthy.
Right.
And we see this all the time at the clinic, and I think that is the difference between that and the magic bullet kind of approaches mm-hmm. is when you tackle an area like premenstrual symptom, for example, and you're rebalancing hormones and you're improving your diet and you're relieving your stress more appropriately and you're exercising a little more and you're taking a holistic approach, you not only manage that set of symptoms better, but you start improving your general health and reduce your risk of chronic diseases mm-hmm. in the long run. And to us, that's a very naturopathic approach.
Absolutely. And for me, I don't know about you, but I always think it's pretty fun to look at all of those different underlying symptoms or complaints that people have and realize that they're not disparate silos of symptoms, that they're usually sort of all related to, you know, you imbalance one part of the endocrine system and it now imbalances another part. So these things that they might be experiencing that we think are just three separate conditions actually in some ways and often tend to be related. So you've helped them with the initial complaint they came in for, and boy, those other two complaints they had start to go away also.
Yeah.
Right. And PMS, for example, is a syndrome. It's not a disease.
Right.
And there are different causes. It's not the same in everybody. Mm-hmm. So one of the jobs of the naturopathic doctor is to look at the person and say, what does this set of symptoms or this lab test or whatever tell us about what that imbalance is, so we can target those therapies in an individual way, which tends to make them more effective.
Right.
I mean, what, you know, the mainstream treatment for PMS these days is antidepressants, which I kind of wonder about sexism in medicine with that mm-hmm. kind of approach, but we certainly take a different approach than that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So another topic that I, along with the women's health area, that people always ask about, because for a while there we saw so much of it in the news, was about menopause and perimenopause and that whole process of the hormones shifting. And I'm kind of curious at your perspective, Amy, on what you think of this, because it's, boy, when I think about nature, if before we ever had medications, what did women do? Did they have these symptoms of menopause? Is it a factor of our modern life that's created this? It's certainly not a deficiency of Prozac. It's something else happening here. So I guess I'm wondering, with all of the news, the unpopular, what do I want to call it? Negative news.
HRT.
Yes. Uh-huh. What is the more natural approach that people take?
You know, it's an interesting question for sure. There's so much influence of modern living on these transitions at this point. Our society and our lifestyle and our diet really contributes to a state in the body that makes it difficult to go through a transition like menopause. And there, I still do meet women who just kind of pass through the changes and no problem, and really don't have a lot of symptoms. But for the most part, people deal with some level of symptoms, and some very severe. And how I would address it would depend on how severely their life's being affected by the symptoms, because I don't think it necessarily is something that has to be treated, or, you know, just like premenstrual syndrome is not a disease. Menopause is definitely not a disease. Mm-hmm. It's a very natural state. But yet it can cause symptoms and be difficult for women to go through. So I think that the mind-body connection and even possibly some counseling aspects are really important, because it is a very big transition in a woman's life. And as far as supportive treatments possibly for someone who is having symptoms would depend on the range of the severity, from things like herbs and nutritional supportive treatments that can make a huge difference, and say if a woman's having hot flashes, you know, can really help her body to regulate better. And all the way to if someone is having more severe symptoms but is concerned about all the bad press that has been out there about HRT, mm-hmm. Something that I do, and actually naturopathic doctors have been doing for a long time, is using natural or bioidentical hormones. And I don't think it's right for everyone. I think some women definitely, you know, we can manage other ways, but I think there are times also where we're actually using the natural hormones during the transitional years is really helpful. And then weaning off of those also once the body is in a more stable place. Mm-hmm. And we use the bioidentical hormones and what that means is that they are exactly the same as what your own body would produce. So the exact chemical type of estrogens that your body produces and progesterones or any other kind of hormones that need to be in a balance there. And for example, also about estrogen, there's not just one estrogen that your body makes. There actually are three main types, and we would often use a blend of those three types in a ratio that's the same as what your body produces naturally, so that your body knows how, you know, it works in your body the same way that you would normally produce estrogen, and your body knows how to metabolize and break down those estrogens, versus the estrogen that was being used very heavily with HRT was Premarin, which is from pregnant mare's urine, and is still is very different than the natural estrogen that the human body makes. So it's still natural because it's from a horse, but
right.
But so that's why we use the word bioidentical, also, that it's the same as the body's.
I think that I know that's confusing for me, so I'm wondering if it's confusing for other people. What makes these bioidentical ones identical? I don't know if you don't have to get too technical, but you know, is it chemically the same structure, and how does that differ from some of these others that are more common in mainstream medicine that aren't bioidentical? What makes them bioidentical? What makes that easier for the body to process?
Mm-hmm. It's the actual chemical structure, and they are still made in a lab. So, but they're often made from wild yam or soy or a plant base, but they are made in a lab and are made to be the exact same chemical structure as the body's.
And in the same ratios.
Right.
You know, Premarin is like estradiol, the strongest estrogen, and it's the most potent and most, I don't know what I want to say, most common estrogen in the body.
Premarin's a blend of like 30 different, at least, you know, tons and tons of different types of estrogens that are not the same as what the human body produces.
Interesting. Very interesting. So that just there makes it, my mind is going and making it fairly easy for me to understand why the HRT might have not have worked so well, and you might have been seeing more side effects because it's not the same as the body's used to.
Right.
Of course, the body's thinking, what do I do with this? And what are these side effects that are created with it? So I would assume then there are less side effects with the bioidentical.
Definitely. Hmm. Yep.
That's interesting. So I think that for me, just an important point to get out there to anybody that's listening is that if you have some of these things, any condition that you haven't really found relief from before going your standard channels, whether it's, you know, polycystic ovarian syndrome or something like that, I know that naturopathic medicine works really well with that, that go check out a different type of doctor. Go check out a naturopathic doctor and just see. They may come back and say, oh, you know what? I think you do need something beyond what we can do. But most likely they will show you a totally different approach that you may not have looked at before that really could offer some relief where you might not have had relief otherwise. So I'm just going to actually maybe give your contact information while we're talking here. For those who just joined us, this is KPOO San Francisco. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and we're talking with Carl and Amy from the Soma Acupuncture Clinic. So can you give the contact information for people?
Yeah. Our phone number is 643-6600. That's in the 415 area code. And you can visit our website if you want more information, which is www.somaacupuncture.com. Two A's. Soma Acupuncture, two A's run together there. And it'll give you all the information and more that you want about our clinic and our practices.
And we're located in Potrero Hill here mm-hmm. in the city.
Great. Yeah, and there's always some good parking. Too.
Yeah, easy
nice.
Parking, I know. How unusual.
We like that. So maybe what's another area that people really are interested in? I know detoxification is always something that's really big for obvious reasons. Boy, we're bombarded with toxins all the time that in our environment and otherwise. So I'm assuming this is a big area that you see in your practice a lot.
Yeah, we get a lot of interest, especially this time of year. I think the whole spring cleaning thing doesn't just apply to our homes and
right.
our cars, but maybe to our bodies themselves. And we see a lot of interest this time of year in spring cleaning. And I think that's for a number of reasons. People, you know, we're more internal in the winter. We eat heavier foods. You know, we come out in the spring, we're ready to get more active. We want to shed a couple of pounds. We want to start feeling a little better because we're getting outside. And so people look for ways to improve their health. And detoxification can range from very simple things like, you know, just drinking water for a day or something mm-hmm. like that, to more complex procedures based on the kind of toxins we're trying to get rid of. So an example of a more complex one might be someone who's been exposed significantly to some heavy metals like mercury mm-hmm. or lead or arsenic or some of these things in our environment. And there are protocols for helping get these to identify that they're in the system and get them out of the system, and many types of detoxification in between.
Absolutely. Which I'll derail the conversation for 1 second because you mentioned mercury, my favorite topic. Because I work so much with kids with autism, it comes up a lot. And there is a great book that I'm addicted to. I can't put it down. And it's a problem actually because I haven't gotten a lot of work done in the last couple of days. But so anybody interested, you should definitely look into it. It's called Evidence of Harm, and it's written by David Kirby, and it's a fascinating, fascinating account of the use of mercury. In this case, it's the use of mercury in vaccines causing injury to kids, but it also just gives a really fascinating account of mercury in general. And he's going to be in the Bay Area doing a series of talks. So May 6th, we are going to be sponsoring a talk that he's going to be doing. And I don't have all the details of it, but you can always email me or look on my website and I can get some more information on it. So just for those people listening, keep that in mind. But let's go back to detoxification. So in the case of something like heavy metals, what are the types of things that naturopathic medicine can offer?
Well, first, it's identifying them, because it's not like someone comes in and says, I think I've been mercury poisoned, or
right.
I think I have lead. Sometimes you'll hear about exposures like that, but most times people don't know. They come in because they've got some chronic health issues and no one's been able to figure them out. They're tired. They get headaches. They can't concentrate. And so we take a careful history, and sometimes, especially if we talk about occupation, things things might start to emerge and we start to wonder. Or maybe we're just trying to figure out what's going on, so we want to do some testing and see. And there are – one of the tests I prefer to do is what's called a pre- and a post-provocative urine test, where you basically have someone pee in a jug for 24 hours and then you send a sample of that urine to a lab and they measure the amounts of heavy metals that are excreted in the urine, because this is one of the ways through the urine and through the feces is the main ways the body gets rid of these metals. And so if you see a level that's a little higher than you might predict otherwise, then you can give them what's called an oral chelating agent, something that binds different minerals, including these heavy metals in the body. And you give this to them for a couple of days and you check another urine test. And if you see these things really jump up, then you've kind of confirmed both that they're present and that this chelating agent is able to pull them out of the system. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and we think there's a relationship between this test result and maybe their chronic symptoms, we then can put them on a program to help their bodies gently get this stuff out over time. And then we watch them to see if it's actually improving their health.
Right.
Are we on top of why they're having that chronic fatigue or whatever?
Right, right. That's really important stuff if that's what's going on. But like you said, a lot of people don't know the symptoms of toxicity in any form, and so it often takes a conversation with somebody to figure out what might be happening.
I have a patient who's had some pretty serious chronic health problems for many, many years, and he's had a million tests. And, you know, we try different things, and sometimes they seem to work and sometimes they don't, and it's just this chronic issue. His medical doctor actually ran a provocative urine challenge on him, just thinking, what else can we do, and found that he had a very high level of barium in his urine.
Wow.
Now, where did barium come from? We have no idea. But when we looked back at what the toxic effects of barium are and compared them with what his key symptoms are, there's a match.
Wow.
So we're thinking, could this be part of what's going on with this guy? So we're going to – coordinating, because the medical doctor doesn't do this kind of therapy. I'm coordinating so I can provide this part of it, keep in touch with his MD, and over time we'll see if it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good example of where this comes in.
That's great. What other types of things are you seeing in the springtime as far as maybe ways that people can detox, maybe some simple things people can do at home that...
Well, one of the things I always ask when someone comes in and says, I want to detox, I ask why. What are they trying to do? And what you'll find is there are different reasons that people report. Maybe they're sluggish. Maybe they're overweight. Maybe they want to break some habits. You know, they're eating too much sugar or something like that. But a lot of times it's that people want to improve their digestion. They feel like something's wrong. They're not eliminating properly. They get a lot of gas. You know, what's happening? So that can guide some of the therapies. And at Soma, We individualize for different people, but we have a basic detox program that we run people through. And it's 2 or 3 weeks. Generally, it's a 3-week program. Some people, 2 weeks is all they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty easy one. It's really about cleaning up the diet, taking out a lot of the toxins in the diet. And we also supplement that with combination. It's a kind of a powder you stir in water that has some protein and some other chemicals, basically, mm-hmm. herbs and phytochemicals and things that help the liver work better, help the kidneys eliminate better. So you're kind of supporting detox. And at the same time, one of the advantages is you're running them through an elimination diet.
Mm.
You're taking some of the key food sensitivities out of the diet for that period of time.
Right.
So when they finish the program, they start to reintroduce wheat or dairy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's especially useful for people with chronic allergies. We get to see what kind of role their diet plays or their digestion or other aspects play in their allergy symptoms, and it gives them a measure of control.
Mm-hmm.
If they find when they reintroduce wheat that all of a sudden they're sneezing again, we know it's not just that pollen blown in the air,
right,
but something they can have some control over. And when they then they can make choices, just like Amy was saying before. They can decide how often they want to eat wheat, and maybe
mm-hmm.
they should stay away from it when their allergy season is really high, if that's a reactor for them.
Right, right. That's great.
And I just want to point out that another great reason to do detoxification is for hormonal balancing, because the hormones are metabolized and processed and detoxified through the liver. So by supporting the liver, it helps to maintain more stable levels of hormones in the body, because a lot of times the liver gets overwhelmed with everything that it's processing and it doesn't do a good enough job of breaking down hormones. So they build up in the body and can be the cause of a lot of symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a another very effective way of working with hormone balancing.
No, that's a really good point that people always forget about, or I guess just maybe aren't aware of how, because we keep creating new hormones, but we have to get rid of the old ones that we're kind of done with.
Right.
If we can't do that, then.
Right.
And there's a real value to working with someone who understands detoxification pathways. What concerns me a lot of times is people tend to think that what detoxification means is to take laxatives or take purgatives and things. And I see it all the time. People
me
come
too.
In and they're just flushing stuff out.
That's elimination, and not detoxification.
That's right. And, and supporting proper elimination is part of it, but using noxious chemicals that irritate the colon isn't really the best way to do it. I like to tell my patients the liver's not a toilet. You don't flush it. You support it. You support it biochemically to make it work better. Your liver knows what to do. Your kidneys know what to do. Your skin knows what to do. How do you help it do the job better?
Right.
And that's supporting the body's ability to do what it's trying to do anyway.
Speaking of flushing the liver, just as a little side note here, I had a friend that had this pain, and she went to a naturopathic doctor who said, oh, I think, you know, maybe we should try a gallbladder flush. And, you know, it ended up happening that she had all of these gallstones in her gallbladder. And, you know, she's feeling a lot better, and she's going to do another one. But, you know, she was doing all this research on the internet and said that so many people end up with going in for surgery or having their gallbladder removed for something like this. And I'm assuming that would be another area that you work with.
It is, but I almost never recommend liver flushes, to be honest. And just like your friend, if she had a number of small stones that flushed out, thank God, you know, it got through and everything. But what if she had a big stone? And what if that plugged up the common bile duct and all of a sudden she has a surgical emergency and she's in getting her gallbladder taken out? So I like a more gentle approach when it comes to that as opposed to these gallbladder flushes. You know, a high fiber diet and water will help gently flush, so to speak, the gallbladder and keep things moving well. If someone had an ultrasound, for example, and you saw a lot of sludge in the gallbladder but no stones, the gallbladder flush would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people get in trouble with those, so I'm careful with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. See, that's the reason you don't want to just jump online and just do something, that it's good to have an expert that you can talk to that knows your individual case, because everybody's situation is so different.
Well, and the most common trend in medicine these days is, I think we all do it, you go on the internet. You find out you've got this diagnosis, and you go on the internet and you start surfing around, and you get some good information, you get some bad information. And it's very common in our practices to have someone come in with a grocery bag full of stuff because they read this and they read that. And by the time they get to me, they're so confused, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what we do is help simplify it for people and say, here's the focus.
Right.
And they wind up saving money, which
sounds
counterintuitive, but indeed it happens.
I have definitely seen people come into my office with an entire shopping bag of supplements that they're taking.
It's amazing.
I know. It really is. So, boy, we're about out of time. I believe you have a special offer for listeners.
Yeah. If you're a listener of this program and you want to come in and see either Dr. Day or myself and call our office by the end of April, we'll give you $50 off an initial visit.
Great.
An initial visit takes an hour to an hour and a half, and we take a pretty comprehensive history and get things at least rolling in that first visit for people.
Wonderful.
And if anybody's interested in having a conversation with one of us to learn to ask us any specific questions or learn more about how we might approach the thing that they want help with, we both offer free 15-minute informational phone consultations. So they can just call the office. Again, the number is 415-643-6600 and set up an appointment with either one of us for a 15-minute phone consult.
Yeah,
great.
This is a good opportunity for people to check in and say, here's what's going on with me. You know, what kind of approach would you take? And get a feel for if it feels right for someone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're about.
I always try to tell people to do that because you really, you know, you have to get a sense of whether you're compatible with the person and if their approach is something. Because just like all doctors, all practitioners have a slightly different approach and belief system and set of tools that they use. So I think that's great that they have the ability to make that initial communication first.
Yeah, and there's a lot of information on our website, too. It's a very worthwhile thing to look at first also. So.
Which is somaacupuncture.com. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, great. Any last minute, anything else? Anybody? I think we're good for the show.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. Thanks for being on. It was so great. So, again, everyone, somaacupuncture.com and the phone number 643. Is that correct? 643-6600.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks for listening. I'm Julie Matthews. I'm a certified nutrition consultant. You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5. If you need more information on the upcoming shows and guests we're having on, you can go to my website, healthfullivingsf.com. Thanks for listening, and we will be here next Thursday at noon.